how Freya gained her necklace and how her loved one was lost to her. Yes, Loki went through Asgard silent with his head bent, and the dwellers in Asgard said one unto the other, "This will teach Loki to work no more mischief." They did not know that what Loki had done was to sow the seeds of mischief, and that these seeds were to sprout and bring up sorrow to the beautiful Vana Freya, to Freya whom the giant wanted to carry off with the sun and the moon as payment for his building of the wall around Asgard. Freya had looked upon the wonders that Loki had brought into Asgard, the golden threads that were Sif's hair, and Frey's boar that shed light from the bristles as it flew. The gleam of these golden things dazzled her, and made her dream in the daytime and in the night time of the wonders that she might herself possess. And often she thought, "What wonderful things the three giant women would give me if I could bring myself to go to them on their mountain top." Long ere this, when the wall around the city was not yet built, and when the gods had set up only the court with their 12 seats, and the hall that was for Odin, and the hall that was for the goddesses, there had come into Asgard 3 giant women. They came after the gods had set up the forge and had begun to work the metal for their buildings. The metal they worked was pure gold, and with the gold they built Gladsheim, the hall of Odin, and with the gold they made all of their dishes and household ware. Then was the age of gold, and the gods did not grudge gold to anyone. Happy were the gods then, and no shadow of foreboding lay on Asgard. But after the three giant women came, the gods began to value gold and to hoard it, played with it no more, and the happy innocence of their first days departed from them. At last the three were banished from Asgard, and the gods turned their thoughts from their hoarding of gold. They built up their city, and they made themselves strong. And now Freya, the lovely Vanir bride, thought upon the giant women and on the wonderful things of gold that they had flashed through their hands. But not to Odur, her husband, did she speak her thoughts, for Odur, more than any of the other dwellers in Asgard, was wont to think on the days of happy innocence, before the gold came to be hoarded and valued. Odur would not have Freya go to the near mountain top, where the three had their high seat. But Freya did not cease to think upon them, and upon the things of gold that they had. "Why should Odur know I went to them?" she said to herself. "No one will tell him, and what difference will it make if I go to them and gain some lovely thing for myself? I shall not love Odur any less because I go my own way for once." Then one day she left their palace, leaving Odur, her husband, playing with their little child Nosa. She left the palace and went down to the earth. There she stayed for a while, tending the flowers that were her charge. After a while she asked the elves to tell her where the mountain was on which the three giant women stayed. The elves were frightened, and would not tell her, although she was queen over them. She left them and stole down into the caves of the dwarves. It was they who showed her the way to the seat of the giant women, but before they showed her the way, they made her feel shame and misery.
"We will show you the way if you stay with us here," said one of the dwarves.
"For how long would you have me stay?" said Freya.
"Until the clocks in Svartheim crow," said the dwarves, closing round. "We want to know what the company of one of the Vanir is like."
"I will stay," Freya said. Then one of the dwarves reached up and put his arm around her neck and kissed her with his ugly mouth. Freya tried to break away from them, but the dwarves held her.
You cannot go away from us now until the cocks of the Svartheim crow," they said.
Then one and then another of the dwarves pressed up to her and kissed her. They made her sit down beside them on the heaps of skins they had. When she wept, they screamed at her and beat her. One, when she would not kiss him on the mouth, bit her hands, so Freya stayed with the dwarves until the cocks of the Svartheim crew. They showed her the mountain on top of which the three banished from Asgard had their abode. The giant women sat overlooking the world of men.
"What would you have from us, wife of Odur?"
one who was called Gullvig said to her.
"Alas, now that I have found you, I know I should ask you for naught," Freya said.
"Speak, Vanna,"
said the second giant woman. The third said nothing, but she held up in her hands a necklace of gold, most curiously fashioned.
"How bright it is," Freya said. "There is a shadow where you sit, women, but the necklace you hold makes brightness now. How I should joy to wear it!"
"This is the necklace of Bringsmere,"
said the one who was called Gullveig.
It is yours to wear, wife of Odur, said the one who held it in her hands.
Freya took the shining necklace and clasped it round her throat. She could not bring herself to thank the giant women, for she saw that there was evil in their eyes. She made reference to them, however, and she went from the mountain on which they sat, overlooking the world of men. In a while she looked down and saw Bringsmere, and her misery went from her. It was the most beautiful thing ever made by hands. None of the Azure and none of the Vanir possessed a thing so beautiful. It made her more and more lovely, and Odur, she thought, would forgive her when he saw how beautiful and how happy Bringsmere made her. She rose up from amongst the flowers and took leave of the slight elves and made her way into Asgard. All who greeted her looked long with wonder upon the necklace that she wore, and into the eyes of the goddesses there came a look of longing when they saw Brísingamen. But Freya hardly stopped to speak to anyone. As swiftly as she could, she made her way to her own palace. She would show herself to Odur and win his forgiveness. She entered her shining palace and called to him. No answer came. Her child, little Nossa, was on the floor, playing. Her mother took her up in her arms, but the child, when she looked on Brísingamen, turned away crying. Freya left Nossa down and searched again for Odur. He was not in any part of their palace. She went into the houses of all who dwelt in Asgard, asking for tidings of him, and none knew where he had gone to. At last Freya went back to their palace and waited for Odur to return. But Odur did not come. One came to her. It was a goddess, Odin's wife, the queenly Frigga.
"You are waiting for Odur, your husband," Frigga said. "Ah, let me tell you that Odur will not come to you here. He went. When, for the sake of a shining thing, you did what would make him unhappy, Odur has gone from Asgard, and no one knows where to search for him." "I will seek him outside of Asgard," Freya said.
She wept no more, but she took the little child Nossa and put her into Frigga's arms. Then she mounted her car that was drawn by two cats, and journeyed down from Asgard to Midgard, the earth, to search for Odur, her husband. Year in and year out, and all over the earth, Freya went searching and calling for the lost Odur. She went as far as the bounds of earth, where she could look over Jotunheim, where dwelt the giants who would have carried her off with the sun and the moon as payment for building the wall around Asgard. But in no place, from the end of the rainbow Bifrost that stretched from Asgard to earth, to the boundary of Jotunheim, did she find a trace of her husband Odur. At last she turned her car towards the Bifrost, the rainbow bridge, that stretched from Midgard, the earth, to Asgard, the dwelling of the gods. Heimdall, the waterer for the gods, guarded the rainbow bridge. To him Freya went with half-hope fluttering in her heart.
"Oh, Heimdall," she cried, "oh, Heimdall, water for the gods, speak and tell me if you know where Odur is."
"Odur is in every place where the searcher has not come. Odur is in every place that the searcher has left. Those who seek him will never find Odur,"
said Heimdall, the watcher for the gods. Then Freya stood on the Bifrost and wept. Frigga, the queenly goddess, heard the sound of her weeping and came out of Asgard to comfort her.
"Oh, what comfort can you give me, Frigga?" cried Freya. "What comfort can you give me when Odur will never be found by one who searches for him? Behold how your daughter, the child Nossa, has grown," said Frigga.
Freya looked up and saw a beautiful maiden standing on the Bifrost, the rainbow bridge. She was young, more youthful than any of the Vanir or the Isenir, and her face and her form were so lovely that all hearts became melted when they looked upon her. And Freya was comforted in her loss. She followed Frigga across the Bifrost, the rainbow bridge, and came once again into the city of the gods. Into her own palace in Asgard Freya dwelt with Nossa, her child. Still she wore round her neck the Brísingamen, the necklace that had lost her Odur. But now she wore it, not for its splendour, but as a sign of the wrong that she had done. She weeps, and her tears become golden drops as they fall on the earth, and by poets who know her story she is called the Beautiful Lady in Tears.
This podcast was created under the Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 license. Music, A Viking's Tale, was downloaded from Shutterstock and is performed by Zeonium. This music can be downloaded at www.shutterstock.com/music/artist/Zeonium.